Welcome to Middlebrow, a service of Scriptorium Daily. This is a show that deals with, well, everything that relates to the West, the culture, saving the same, reclaiming it for the cause of Christ, and engaging the battle of ideas. Or, if that's too culture worry for you, just thinking about things really carefully. Today I'm here with Fred Sanders, who is a professor and associate director in the Torrey Honors Institute. And we're going to talk a little bit about politics and what's going on in the Republican primaries. Fred, I know you had some thoughts. What are they right now?
Well, my thoughts on the primaries are that I like to think of myself as a normal person.
I'm pretty sure I'm not when it comes
to
politics.
Yeah, I'm sure everyone likes to think of themselves that way. And I have a little bit of the political junkie disease. I could watch news analysis endlessly, and I could read political blogs a lot. But I don't. I try to keep that to a minimum. As a result, I don't really start thinking about my primary vote until the primary is starting to come across the country towards me.
Yeah, but I know you're enough of a political junkie. We've talked about this before. Particularly traditional Christians, like we are going to have our biggest say in the primaries. Let's face it, one political party is going to be pretty pro-life, and the other political party is going to be pretty not pro-life. So if you're a pro-life voter, if you're someone who can't vote culture of death, your chance to make sure there is a pretty pro-life party is going to be in the primaries. It's not going to be in the general election.
That's right. And I'm also the kind of person who I'm glad I don't live in Iowa because I want some decisions to have been made for me before a ballot is put in front of me.
I agree with that.
So several months ago when you started blogging about Mitt Romney, I had not so much as heard of Mitt Romney.
Right.
So much as I may follow politics, I don't follow it at that level.
Well, I have to say, Fred, that when I was first looking at primary challengers, which was about 3 years ago, you could look back on the archive of our blog, and I was kind of promoting George Allen, which tells you how good my radar is for picking people, in the sense that I was looking for a sort of Southern candidate who was very appealing to evangelicals, but could win a state like Virginia that if the Republicans don't run strongly, they could really lose. Hillary could carry Virginia. She's not going to carry Mississippi. Today she dissed Mississippi. In fact, a sure sign that she knows she's going to get 30% of the vote there. And so I was looking around. The nice thing about doing an early investigation is way before Mikaka, way before George Allen, for those who are not political, George Allen made a racial slur, bluntly, to a person and then denied making the racial slur, pretended he didn't know it was a racial slur, turned what would have been a serious misstatement or mistake or sin, go as far as that, into a huge scandal. It sort of let the air out of his tires. We discovered George Allen, maybe not the brightest bulb in the pack, the most nimble thinker,
right,
and a little angry and a little too, let me be blunt, Confederate for my taste.
Yeah. So your point is that that was a bad pick. Your early interest in George Allen turns out to have been a bad pick.
Yeah,
but I would also
want
to point out, just to have opinions about someone at that level, that far ahead of an election,
is weird.
Yeah, brands you as being way out there.
Well, what I was going to say is one good thing about being way out there is I actually had cooled off on George Allen within 2 or 3 days of my initial post because I got some data back from friends and people I know. I don't just mean people on talk radio. I just mean people across the country like my parents who live in West Virginia and Virginia that indicated, George Allen, he may not be presidential timber.
Right.
So actually, well before Mikaka, which I described in case people don't know what it was, and he lost his Senate race, I was pretty cool on the whole George Allen for president idea. So one thing about being out there is you can become, at first maybe wrong, but a good guesser about who's going to blow up before they blow up, and you've invested months and months of time and maybe a little bit of money into their cause.
Right. Well, apparently the Democratic primary is over before it starts, and
yes,
it's just Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, short of Hillary Clinton doing something utterly insane, and it's not even clear that any scandal could sink a Clinton in the Democratic primary, Hillary Clinton will surely be the nominee of the Democratic Party. And
whereas,
it's hard to see if that isn't the Republicans' best chance of winning. If they had run a candidate like Bill Richardson of New Mexico, who has his downsides, I probably wouldn't have voted for him, but they're not trying to get my vote anyway. I don't think the Republicans would have stood much of a chance. Next year looks like a Democrat year. And so Hillary is very polarizing. About 40-some percent of people won't vote for her no matter what. She can be beaten. Now the Republicans have to come up with somebody to beat her.
And on the Republican side, where it's still a pretty open race, everyone's just salivating for a chance to run against Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, that's right.
So the primary vote that'll come to me by the time it makes its way out to California is I'm going to be trying to decide who to vote for the Republican nomination.
And your vote almost surely will really matter because California apportions their delegates, I believe, by congressional delegation. So it's winner take all inside the congressional delegation. But, you know, if you live in Bakersfield, you might be able to make a different choice than if you live in San Francisco and Los Angeles, which isn't true in the presidential election, where you and I will both go vote. And if we don't vote for Hillary Clinton, we've wasted our time. She's going to win by 10.
I'm not sure I've
points.
Ever cast a presidential ballot that escaped my district.
Right,
I believe
exactly.
In the Electoral College, I'm fine with it. I just don't think I've ever actually sent a vote that affected the election.
Yeah, if you go to a college in upstate New York, it's a very, very similar process. People aren't campaigning hard. I guess the good news is we don't have to watch a lot of the stupid political commercials for hours on end. Nobody wastes their money.
Like I said, I'm glad not to live in Iowa. So I am looking across the country, though, and asking myself now, well, why wouldn't I vote for Huckabee?
Well, and
that was what I wanted to ask you about, because I know you've been pro-Romney in a lot of ways for quite a while.
Yeah, that's right. If the California primary were today, I'd vote for Mitt Romney. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm still open to other candidates because, as you discovered with George Allen, you can early commit to a candidate. In his case, in a few days, you find out something you don't like about them and you change your mind. That's the option when you're just a voter and not a big political figure. Right. But I'm pretty committed to Romney. You know, I've written on it enough that it'd be hard for me to change my mind. And I'll tell you why. First of all, I can't vote for Rudy in the primaries. I'm not sure I can vote for Giuliani in the general for the same reason you'd struggle with it. Mm-hmm. Are you ready? Romney's not for traditional marriage, protecting it. And Giuliani. Yeah, that's great. There's a misquote that people could use. Giuliani is not pro-life. He's pro-choice, and he's pretty firmly pro-choice.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not for traditional marriage. So in the primary where I have choices, I'm not going to vote for Rudy no matter what.
Now, why hasn't Fred Thompson turned your head?
Fred Thompson hasn't turned my head for the same reason that the person I know best who was supporting him, Joe Carter, today announced on his blog he's given up on Fred Thompson.
Oh, really?
Now, yeah, he's now supporting Huckabee.
So Carter's now Huckabee.
Yeah, weekly. But Thompson, I knew right from the get-go when I started looking at Thompson because my dad found him really appealing. I thought, oh, great, you know, a figure who can unite the party, doesn't have problems, you know, attracting people because of religion or something else that might turn them off. Fred Thompson has no fire in his belly. And in many ways, he's not any more qualified to be president by resume than Hillary Clinton. He's never been an executive leader of anything. He's never been the guy to make a decision. And he doesn't look like he wants to work hard to get the job. And bluntly, to beat the Clinton machine, Bill Clinton's great at running for president. And Bill Clinton will be Hillary's closest advisor. And that same team is in place.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's going to really have to want it. They're going to be able to take a few punches. Fred looks like he wants to golf, make a couple of low-key speeches, and stay home.
Yeah, no, it's kind of, the Thompson campaign's kind of hilarious that way. I can't be bothered to come down there and make a statement. And I guess if there's a strategy, the strategy is that people will like that in some sort of a backwards way.
Yeah.
Everyone's campaigning. What about that guy who doesn't campaign?
I think that if we were running for a high school president, that might work. I don't know about your high school, but there was always the kid that made the candidacy about, I'm the non-political kid who hates student government, can't be bothered to make a speech, and cool, I'll just have great dances. And in some ways, that turned a lot of people on. In some high schools, that actually works.
Hmm.
You can get enough people who are down on the system, and you can be sort of lackadaisical, and you don't want it, and get it.
You can run the un-campaign because you're too cool to lobby for votes.
That's right. And if you have Mark Hanna, and it's, I don't know, 1896, you can sit in your front porch in Iowa, Ohio, like William McKinley, and run a front porch campaign. But that depends on money. People forget that the front porch campaign, McKinley beat the peripatetic, making speeches everywhere, William Jennings Bryan, because he outspent him, the old joke went, 16 to 1.
Hmm.
He spent $16 million to Bryan's $1 million. In short, you can sit on the front porch if you have a money advantage that's just staggering, which
right.
The Republicans had this year. If anything, the Republicans are going to have a money disadvantage against the Clinton fundraising machine. So a low-key, Fred Thompson, William McKinley, drawling candidate, a sort of boredom in search of a platitude kind of campaign is going to fail.
Now, if the Republican race is five-way right now, is Huckabee doing the worst with money?
Yeah, Huckabee has no money. Mm-hmm. Now, money can come fast if you're the nominee, but it can't come fast if you turn off the money people in the party. Now, I'm a traditional conservative. I'm going to vote my Burke, Lincoln, Reagan, traditional family values. I'm kind of Main Street that way. There's never been any money in the Reynolds family in 300 years of living in the United States. But frankly, politics depends on money. And so a successful candidate like Reagan is going to attract the kind of people who have money, who will give money to his campaign. And bluntly, Huckabee hasn't shown any ability to reach outside of the mom and pop small donor base and get to the big time donors that make a viable national candidacy. You can be too pure by half. Now, I wouldn't vote for a pro-choice person because they had lots of money. But if I have a choice between a pro-life person that I have some qualms with the money to win, and a pro-life person with no money, that's just suicide to pick the second.
All right. Well, tell me if this is a dumb vote at the presidential level. I think differently about local politics.
Yeah.
But at the presidential level, I vote for someone I like. And I like Huckabee better than I like Romney. Now, I wouldn't make that decision with regard to like local commissioners and stuff because there it's a much more competent question.
I've made this vote. I hate to tell you.
Is it a dumb vote to vote for the person you like?
Yeah, I think it is.
Because you vote for Jimmy Carter?
I've learned this the hard way. No, I'm not going to tell you the people I voted for in a Republican primary because it's so embarrassing that I just don't feel like outing my shame in such a public way. But I think the problem with voting for somebody you like instead of somebody that you think is the best qualified to be president, which I think Romney is over Huckabee, and we can get into that in a second, is that it really marginalizes your vote. You're voting for someone that's a great vice presidential choice. I'll make you a bet. Whoever the nominee is, Huckabee will be the vice presidential nominee unless there's a feeling that there has to be an affirmative action pick, that they have to pick someone who's not a white male. Huckabee has done fabulously well. He's outrun his money. He's a skilled orator. He has a pretty big constituency now, but he doesn't show any ability to move outside the social conservative constituency to the Wall Street Republican part of the party, the big money part of the party, what are often called the economic conservatives. And in fact, he says a lot of things that are offensive to economic conservatives. A group I like, the Club for Growth, hates Huckabee worse than poison.
Now, I don't know much about that. Tell me about that. Sometimes as a conservative, I look at the fiscal conservatives and the libertarian side of the movement and say, these are sort of not my people. I'm just a social conservative evangelical guy.
Yeah, I'm pretty much just a social conservative too. But I do think social conservatism leads to a view that you should be able to keep your own property, that ownership of private property is a good thing. That's a socially conservative position.
So the social conservatives and the fiscal conservatives don't just have a marriage of convenience. There are real substantive links between them.
Yeah, that's right. Now, tariff policy, which is one thing that Huckabee is controversial with people who really care about economics.
Okay,
I'm starting
to yawn. Hang on a second.
Yeah.
Help me care about tariff policy.
Okay, here's the deal. We import a lot of goods from China. That makes it hard for American businesses to compete because Chinese goods are less expensive. The question is, should we impose a tax, basically a tariff, on Chinese goods to make it easier for American companies to compete? Or should we just make them compete in the world as it is, be lean and mean, and make sure people can buy inexpensive products, thus helping people? Either way, it's obvious if we put a tariff on, that might create some jobs right. in the short term. On the other hand, it'll make products more expensive for everyone, and that hurts the poor the most. So generally, Republicans in the last, post-Teddy Roosevelt era, the Republicans used to be high tariff in the Lincoln era. Republicans have been low tariff. We've said that during the Great Depression, high tariffs were a big disaster. They caused a worldwide economic collapse. In a time when banks are already dodgy and sketchy, this is a bad time If China goes into an economic depression, that's not going to be nothing for the United States.
So the wise course is free trade, as much free trade as possible.
That's right.
If and, goods don't cross borders,
and Huckabee,
armies will.
Huckabee makes non-free trade noises. Though, you know, that's, again, a little dodgy. Nobody quite who's a Republican will say they oppose free trade. Everyone will say they're for it. But they'll say something like, I'm for fair trade. In fact, protective tariffs, just putting on taxes, is such a disaster historically that everybody has favorite little tariffs, including George W. Bush, who put a tariff on steel to help get some votes in places like Pennsylvania and West Virginia from small steel companies. Everybody has their little favorite tariff from their little favorite group of people. But in general, I'm not for them. That's not so much the issue. You're not going to vote over that, I can tell from looking on at you.
Yeah, that's pretty much the case. Although I'm willing to entertain the argument about being qualified to be president, I tend to look at a governor like Huckabee and say, oh, I bet he's qualified to be president. I bet he'll do fine. I wonder what kind of people he would appoint. Let me put a little bit of muscle behind I like him better than I like Romney.
Yeah, great.
It's kind of a trust issue. The more I watch Romney, the more I think that's incredibly slick. And the more things he says, the more they all kind of pile up. And they never directly contradict each other. It just becomes an enormous pile of interesting statements to have made. And I have trouble sort of committing to him. It's affective language. It's emotional language.
If I end up not voting for Romney, which I don't think is likely, I think I will vote for him. That would be why I wouldn't. I think that's his great weakness as a candidate. I think he's a very disciplined man. I think you don't form your own billion-dollar business from scratch. And as a very traditionally religious person, though not my religion by any stretch of the imagination, become governor of Massachusetts, raise five kids who all love you, stay married to the same woman, if you're not super disciplined. He seems to have accomplished an insane amount
in
a relatively short period of time, including saving the Winter Olympics, which were mired in scandal and were going to lose money. And when he took them over, they ended up making money and they were totally successful. This is the kind of guy who's so disciplined that I think he goes to his people and says, okay, here's what I believe. This is really what I believe. Now, what's the message to get my beliefs across? And he can become so disciplined and so on point that it can just look like a PowerPoint presentation at a business meeting. And a lot of people say that about Romney. I think, on the other hand, if we're dealing with Hillary Clinton, he's the only candidate that doesn't give up IQ points to her and knows the issues as deeply and as well as she does and can just talk about pretty much anything at any length. If he can become disciplined to not be too disciplined. In other words, he can let his real personality show, which evidently he's a loving father, he's a loving husband, the sort of affective side of his personality, then I think he's a pretty unstoppable candidate. You'll have a guy who's super bright, super accomplished, who also can be likable. But I do think you're right on. I like Huckabee in that sense better than I like Romney. I will say this to you, Fred, we're a lot alike. And so the other problem is the kind of voter who lives in Arkansas. Arkansas, some people will say, well, look, Huckabee was governor of Arkansas, which is a kind of purple state, not red, not blue. The Clintons came from there. Romney's from Massachusetts. Huckabee was governor longer, maybe. What's the difference? They're both haven't been governor a huge amount of time. They don't have huge amount of government experience.
And no matter what you've done, I can always say, so you saved the Olympics. Well, buddy, America's not the Olympics.
Yeah.
So you earned $1 million in a business. Well, buddy,
America's not a
business. Yeah.
And the same thing is true of being governor. Being governor is not the same as being president. However, this we know, Massachusetts contains Boston and Harvard. Arkansas doesn't.
It is pretty remarkable that Romney was electable in that state.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Attention getting.
And some parts of that is because despite his traditional beliefs in his own life, he's gone through a change over the course of governing Massachusetts. I think Romney was one of those Main Street Republicans that thought if we give them abortion and we give them, you know, tolerance for other kinds of behavior, they'll leave us alone. That'll be it. Now, that's a bad argument. I don't agree with it. But I think as governor of Massachusetts, and I really do believe this, I've talked to people who've talked to the governor and heard his story, he discovered in dealing with Harvard, in dealing with the kinds of political elites in Boston, that it wasn't going to end in pro-choice abortion. It really was turning into abortion as a kind of rite and sacrament, and life itself being attacked through things like cloning.
Well, let's say I try to think very intelligently about who I like and put some heft behind that and think, you know, let me articulate why I like Huckabee. That's one way of voting. Then I say, well, instead, let me think strategically. The one thing I know is the Republicans are going to be running against Hillary Clinton.
Right.
And the only way – Hillary's so polarizing. The only way that the Republicans – the main way the Republicans will lose is to have a third party run or to split the Republican vote so thoroughly that it's two people against Hillary and therefore Hillary wins.
And Romney is the only candidate, in my opinion, that won't split the party.
That won't split the Republican
vote. Rudy will split it wide open.
Yes.
Huckabee will send a certain kind of moneyed person home. He won't openly split the party, but the donations to the party will dry up from money people we need to give money.
So if you scare off the money people, there aren't that many of them voting, but they have lots of dollars to give to the campaign.
Yeah, that's right. We're already probably going to be outspent by Hillary, which is another voice in Romney's favor. Romney is a hundreds of millionaire. If he wants to be president of the United States, like H. Ross Perot, only not crazy, he can fund his own campaign to be equal with Hillary any place he wants to be equal. And bluntly, that's going to be a huge advantage in a market, in a time when it's going to be hard for Republicans to raise dollars for any candidate.
That could also produce a backlash, though, where someone is buying enough publicity to be electable. That could make you want to vote for someone who's not a millionaire.
Look, Fred, I'm from West Virginia, and West Virginia elected a Rockefeller and has elected a Rockefeller year after year on this effective argument.
Yeah.
I'm worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Nobody can buy me. Mitt Romney has so much money that, you know, he's not going to sell the Lincoln bedroom like the Clintons, who are already bundling money from cooks and waiters, thousands of dollar donations from places like Chinatown to get money. Mitt Romney doesn't need to do that.
Let me push you on one more thing. You're not saying that a Huckabee candidacy would split the Republican vote. You're just saying it would scare off some of the big money contributors.
Look, I like Mike. I'd vote for Mike. I'd vote enthusiastically for Mike. I'd probably send him my requisite $100 that I send any candidate, which isn't going to float anybody, but I do it. I think he'll scare away the big money donors. And bluntly, he appeals to people like the two of us. I don't think he can appeal to people outside of our demographic. And our demographic consists of conservative religious people in the United States. My guess is we're about 40 to 45% of the population. Not all of us vote Republican anyway.
Right.
A big chunk of that is minority and tends to vote Democratic for race issues having to do with historical support for racial justice in the Democrat Party. And so I just don't think we can win by ourselves. We need the social and economic conservatives to unite.